Hello, and welcome to the seventh episode of Let's Talk Iran, providing Iranian-American perspectives on current events and policies that shape U.S.-Iran relations and affect the Iranian-American community. This program is brought to you by the National Iranian-American Council, otherwise known as NIAC. I'm Nobar Elmi, and I'll be your host. I'm here today with Iara Lee, filmmaker, activist, and director of culturesofresistance.org. In 2008, Iara lived in Iran and supported a number of cultural exchange projects between Iran and the West with the goal of using arts and culture for peaceful democratic change within Iran. Iara was able to join us via telephone to discuss her time in Iran and her insight on how creative art is being used as an initiative for change within Iran. Thank you, Iara, for being with us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to collaborate with NIAC.
So what was the first thing that struck you about these young artists in Iran when it comes to similarities and differences between them and Western artists?
A lot of times people in the Western world, they think Iran is this kind of like a bizarre place where everything is different. And in fact, when you go there, people are extremely kind and normal and they go about their lives. They're not like this. It's kind of extraterrestrials that a lot of Western people think about, you know. And the artists there are the same. They're extremely cosmopolitan. They have very similar concerns, just like we have in the Western world. And it was very interesting when we had this exhibit at the Chelsea Museum to see that they even have things that people in the Western world would not even consider, you know, like issues related to sexuality, issues related to the role of women in society. And, you know, sometimes people think the women of Iran are submissive and they kind of confuse with the Arab world. And it's actually very, very different. And the women are very empowered there. A lot of them go to university. They're extremely educated. And so it was very interesting to live there for a year and interact with the youth. I was there the best time before all the craziness of the Green Revolution. So I got to meet a very talented artist and surprisingly extremely cosmopolitan, you know. So it kind of erased all these kind of cliche and erroneous ideas we have when we come from the Western world.
What are these Iranian artists doing to avoid confrontation with the government? Is it really an underground movement, or how are they spreading the word and getting others turned on to their works of art and therefore the movement they're trying to promote?
I think the more repression, the more creativity comes up, you know. For example, I know like YouTube is prohibited, BBC is prohibited, there are so many websites prohibited, but they find ways, you know, and the more you try to repress, the more they will be inventive. I know, for example, they will circumvent through proxies and they are able to get to the sites that are shut down or censored by the government. And also the resilience in the sense that, you know, like when we were doing this music video and they were filming under the bridge and they got taken to jail. And the next day when they were released, they were back under the bridge filming again, you know. So it's the resilience. A lot of my friends, they went to jail more than three times and they're still feminists. They're still going to protests. But it's really tough. I mean, people have to be like freedom martyrs, you know. And sometimes it gets to be too much that they, the courageous one, reach their breaking point. And that's when they leave, you know. And we have to learn. I mean, it's one thing to be an activist in Europe or America, and another thing is to be an activist in Burma or Iran or, you know, North Korea.
One of the works you highlight is of the Tehran Rats. It's a duo of graffiti artists. What obstacles or difficulties did they face, besides the fact that graffiti is an illegal form of art, even here in the U.S.? What do you think they were trying to say or achieve with their art?
They like to believe that art should play a revolutionary role and it should go against government and against authority. And I think that's why they like the idea of doing something that is considered illegal. A lot of the artists I met there, they were actually very interested in challenging the status quo, at great risk, of course, because, you know, as a Brazilian, I mean, it was very interesting because I was trying to promote cultural exchange, for example, and I spoke to the Brazilian embassy, and we were just like, how can we do cultural exchange with Brazil? Because we like to show skin, we like to dance, we like to sing, and all these things are kind of prohibited in Iran, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, as you know, female cannot sing solo. Dancing is prohibited most of the time. And so when you talk about graffiti, that is even prohibited in the Western world, in the U.S., imagine how difficult it is for them in Iran. But despite the great risk, they do it, and they promote justice, they promote peace. And as they said, they like the idea of having something out of the museum so a passerby can see something on a wall and be struck by a concept of an idea. And the artist, that's the role they think an artist should play, should try to revolutionize and provoke change. So it was very fascinating because considering that it's even illegal in the U.S. and they're doing it in Iran, you know, it was fascinating. When I was living there, people have the dream that things were going to change, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's very sad now to see that a lot of them are out of Iran. Like every week I get email, Hichkaz, the rapper, we produce his music video. He's now in London. And then the director of the music video is in Malaysia. And then another music producer is now in France. So the brain drain is something that is, it's really what is the price, you know, that it's priceless to have these amazing artists in Iran. And now it's just terrible. They're out of Iran. So I'm communicating a lot with them, and we are all trying to work from outside to support the brave people on the ground still resisting, with the hopes that we can all go back. I mean, even me as a Brazilian citizen, I used to be able to go without a visa, and at the Khomeini airport, they would just stamp a visa, you know. Mm-hmm. So, but now, even if I try to get a formal visa, most likely I'll be rejected. So times have changed very quickly, and it reflects a lot on the artists, and a lot of them have been leaving, unfortunately.
Based on what you observed, what do you think the future holds for these artists in Iran? And how do you see their art contributing to the nonviolent pro-democracy movement, otherwise known as the Green Movement?
I think, as I mentioned, I think a lot of them decided that it's better to stay alive, and it's better to keep producing. Obviously, when you uproot someone, for example, the Hichkaz, you know, his rap is about Iran and what is to be an Iranian and to be young in Iran. So when you take the person from his country, when his art is so linked to his country, it's very difficult. I cannot even imagine what a lot of these artists can do if they're out of Iran, you know. But on the other hand, they have their passports confiscated, they get thrown in jail for no reason. And it gets to a point that people have their limits, you know. When we see so many of them in jail, it gets to a point that they say, well, we need to, you know, be courageous, but maybe we are more useful outside of Iran at this particular moment than inside. And I can appreciate that, but obviously we are all working behind the scenes through music diplomacy, through art diplomacy, creative nonviolence diplomacy, you know, and trying to, you know, educate people in the Western world and get some sort of global solidarity, because I think they can, you know, we don't want intervention, but I think global solidarity would be always helpful, you know. I think there's a very distinct difference between this kind of militaristic intervention that we see, you know, in Libya and other countries. But what I propose, and what a lot of my friends who are artists propose, is that we promote global solidarity so we can support the creativity and the artists that are abroad.
So unfortunately, we're running out of time. I have one more question for you, and that is, how has this experience, you know, spending time in Iran and with these Iranian artists, how has it influenced or changed you both as a person and as an artist and activist?
All my preconceived ideas of Iran faded away. I You know, it's such an honor to be able to be there with them and live and eat with them and exchange conversations. It was a huge learning experience for me. And I think as an activist, it just shows that we all have to work together. You know, I just came from South Korea, where they are like, you know, they got water cannons hit against them yesterday. And you know, I'm going to Tunisia. I lived in Sidi Bou Said, where the Arab Spring basically started, you know. And I'm so proud of the Tunisian people for confronting the despotic government and saying enough is enough. And I really look forward to the time when Iranians together can bring down their despotic government and be part of this world spring. You know, I mean, even in Asia, they were saying we are inspired by the Arab Spring. We want the Asian Spring, you know. And I think in Iran and many other parts of the world, we're all working towards that challenging of the status quo, and hopefully more despotic governments will come down and we can all work in solidarity.
Great. Well, thank you so much for your time, and we really enjoy the conversation, and we look forward to seeing what else is you have down the road for Cultures of Resistance.
Thank you so much.
To read more about Cultures of Resistance, visit www.culturesofresistance.org. And as always, please be sure to visit NIAC at www.niacouncil.org.